busy weeks, so much to get done and so many things to do. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us for the next few moments at least to be able to focus, to be able to listen. Lord, help me as I preach your word to be able to just put my full attention on the task at hand, and that you would use me this morning, Father, and that we could leave here this morning knowing that we've met with you. We love you, Lord. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And the subject I'd like to preach on this morning is somewhat of a little different of a subject than I think I've never preached on this subject before. But, you know, you might have noticed there in the bulletin that we were talking about church membership. And since the beginning of our church, which our church is a pretty new church, it's been around for just a few months, over a year, and since the beginning of our church, we've had multiple people ask us about becoming a church member, or how to become a member of the church. Recently, I became very started thinking about this subject, and in that time frame when I was thinking about it and praying a little about it, I had a couple more people ask me about it, and I thought, you know, maybe it's time to deal with this, to deal with the subject there about becoming a church member. Now, because so many of the practices for becoming a church member used by churches today are extra biblical, or in many cases just flat out unbiblical, we always, as a church, and me personally as a pastor, always just kind of shied away from establishing any church membership procedures, because I always felt like most church membership procedures are just not founded in Scripture, and they're extra biblical or just unbiblical. And so I always just kind of just shied away from it, didn't worry about it. I always told people this. I said, if you come to our church, you're a member. You know, if you gather yourself here and you're part of this congregation, then you're in. And I still believe that, and I'll prove that to you from the Bible here in a second. However, though, I feel that the practice that we've set has, in the defense of trying to be scriptural, has robbed some of our church people from the opportunity to consciously and purposely and even publicly make a choice or make a decision to join our church, or to join our cause, to join our vision and our mission, and to say, hey, I want to be a part of that. Now, look, many people have done that and have joined our church, but because I feel like we've robbed people from the opportunity to publicly, consciously, purposefully take that step, that we're actually doing a disservice to our people. So, because of that, I decided, you know, I want to study the Scriptures in regards to this subject. And I want to preach to you on the subject of church membership and lay out our philosophy and lay out our future practice for becoming a church member and what exactly it means to be a church member. And like I said, it's going to be a little bit of a different sermon, but hopefully you'll leave here learning something or knowing something. First of all, I want to deal with this. Unbiblical church membership practices. Unbiblical church membership practices. If you go to the average church in the United States of America, you're going to find all sorts of different ways and different avenues in which people and churches practice people becoming a church member. I took some of the mainstream ideas, and I want to show you why it is that we reject some of those ideas and why we reject some of that understanding. Number one, the most popular way of becoming a church member, especially in the independent fundamental Baptist realm, is to be voted in to the church. My whole life growing up, when somebody wanted to join the church, they would come to church on a Sunday night or something like that, and after the service, they'd walk down the aisle, the whole family would stand up in front of the church, and then they would vote the family in. They would say, you know, so-and-so, brother so-and-so and his wife and children would like to join our church this morning, and let's take a vote. And they would say, you know, all those in favor say aye, and all those opposed nay, and of course no one would ever say nay, because why would you do that, you know? Or they would say, you know, if you're in favor, say a hearty amen or something like that. And they vote the family in. Now you say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, the first thing that's wrong with that is this. It's not found in Scripture. Show me one place in the Bible where a family was voted in to the congregation. Okay, you got to understand, church is not a social club. This is not a fraternity, okay? This is not a the Moose Lodge. We're not, church is a congregation of believers. So we don't really have the right to, because when you vote someone into church, that gives the idea that some people might not be eligible, or some people might not be voted in, you know? We ought to never have this attitude, well, so-and-so, did you see how they were dressed? Maybe we should, you know. And obviously that never happens, but it does lend that to that idea. But let me give you the main reason why I'm against voting in people into church. Go with me, you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Go back to verse number 5. Oh, I'm sorry, chapter number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. And the reason, the main reason that I'm against voting in church members onto a roster is this. It's really put up as an excuse or a cop-out to not have to do hard things sometimes. And here's what, let me explain to you what I'm talking about. Every so often, now look, listen to me. No one in this church, and I can say this, no one in this church wants more people to come to this church than the guy standing up here. Okay? I promise you that. But every once in a while, there comes a time, the Bible teaches, that people need to be thrown out of church. Now look, we're not looking to throw people out of church. We're trying to get as many church people to come to church as possible. As many members as possible. As many people saved as possible. But sometimes the Bible teaches that there comes a time in the life of a church where certain people have to be thrown out of church. Let me show you that. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. Look at verse number 1. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth. And he says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And such fornication, now fornication, we understand what that's talking about, sexual sin. But he says, look, I've not just heard that there's fornication. He says, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. He's saying, the world doesn't even do the kind of stuff that I've heard that's going on in your church. Look what he says. He says that one should have his father's wife. Now that's pretty bad sin. Wouldn't you agree? Look at verse 2. And ye are puffed up. And have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Do you see that? He said, you're puffed up. You haven't even mourned that the person who's doing this might be taken away from among you. And he says, verse 3, for I verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says in verse number 5. This is the Bible. Look what he says. To deliver such an one unto Satan. For the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Do you see that? The Bible teaches, and churches skirt around this issue, and churches ignore this issue, but the Bible teaches that there comes a time in the life of a church where sometimes people need to be thrown out. He said people need to be delivered unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved. Look at verse number 6, very famous verse, often not referred to in its context though. The context of verse number 6 is talking about the church. He says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Do you see that? And let me explain something to you. Nobody wants people to come to this church more than this guy up here. And nobody's going to have more patience for people coming to this church than this guy up here. And no one's going to show more grace and more love and more kind. I would hope there'd be somebody who'd show more grace. But look, there's nobody who wants this church to grow more than me. Or maybe God, you know. But I want to see our church be successful. I want to see our church grow. But there comes a time when certain individuals' sin will force our hand to say, you're no longer welcomed here. Now look, we're patient with people. And we love people. And we understand that normal sin, you know, we all sin and we're all sinners. We get that. But for example, this guy, and if you study it, you know, if you see, he's fornicating with his father's wife, but it's not his mother, it's his stepmother. Okay? And let me explain something to you. At Verity Baptist Church, if a huge sin like this comes up, we're not going to ignore it. You know, if we ever find out at our church that there's two people in our church who are committing adultery, you know, like there's two couples, and two of the members that they're committing adultery, hey, if I find out about it, we're kicking you out. And now look, all 1 Corinthians, the entire book is about dealing with the leaven that leaveneth the whole lump. Now look, when those people get right with God, we'll love them. We'll bring them back in. That's what the entire book of 2 Corinthians about. 1 Corinthians, they were letting the sin spread rampant. And Paul says, hey, that's not right. You need to tell that guy, you need to kick him out of church, and you need to get away from him. And you know, he needs to get right with God. He ought not be part of the congregation. But then in 2 Corinthians, the guy gets right with God, and then they're all being mad about him. And Paul says, hey, that's not right either. If he's getting right with God, bring him back in. You know, restore such as one. So look, we'll love people, but there's just certain sins. Someone comes to our church and has found out that they are a homosexual. We're kicking them out. That's anti-Bible. We're not having that. Because here's the thing. You start letting fornication run rampant. You start letting adult, well, that's not my place, you know. So-and-so is married to so-and-so, but he's having a relationship with so-and-so's wife. You know, so we're just to love him. No, we're not going to love that. You know, because you let a little leaven, you leaven the whole lot. You know, a little, sin and a little wrong in the congregation. Hey, our kids and my kids need to be able to see that there is a place where holiness and righteousness and the Bible is upheld. Now look, I'm not just talking about, oh, you got, some sin here. We all have sin in our life. But there's certain sins. Adultery, when you're like in adultery, we're kicking you out. You know, but here's the thing. Here's how the average church skirts around that issue. We voted them in, and we've got this roster somewhere. And when we find out about someone's sin, we don't confront them, we don't tell them anything, we just go to our little roster and we cross their name out and hope they're no longer part of the church. That's not what 1 Corinthians is talking about. Church is congregation, but it's talking about physically picking them up and removing them, not, in some form somewhere, on some computer somewhere, deleting their name and hope they're no longer part of the church. It's a cop-out. So we don't vote people in. Because we don't want to be able to say, well, so and so, he's a queer, and we just voted him off, and he's no longer part of the church, but he can still, he's still congregating. No. We physically remove people. And look, this is very rare, and I hope we never have to do it. And one of the ways that we take care of not doing it is just preaching the Bible, preaching hard. People come in here and they're into weird stuff like that, they're not gonna stay very long. But being voted in, that's why we're not doing it. Let me give another example. Signing a church covenant or a contract. Some churches will have people join by signing a church covenant or contract. I have an example here of a church, a new member instruction certificate, and a church covenant. And this is what it reads. Let me just read it for you. It says, Blaine, and this is where you put your name, so-and-so, having manifested credible evidence that so-and-so has been converted and has entered into a covenant with so-and-so church, and having completed the course of instruction for new membership, is hereby awarded the certificate commending to blank, the future joys of Christian life through church membership. And then they have this entire covenant. I'm not going to read it for you because it's very long. But churches will practice this idea where they'll have a church covenant or a church contract. And here's what they'll do. They'll have this contract. If you want to become a member, you got to sign this contract. And literally, I've seen these things where you're like signing a contract saying, I will tithe 10% of my income to this church as a member. And you're agreeing to that. Or, I will not, drink alcohol. Or, I will do this. Or, I will do that. Now, listen to me. You will not find a church in Sacramento that preaches harder against sin than Very Baptist Church. And I believe in all of that. But you know what I also believe in? I believe in liberty. Go with me to Galatians. You're there in Corinthians. We're going to be coming back to it. But go with me to Galatians chapter number 2. And look at verse number 4. Galatians, 1 and 2 Corinthians. Then you've got the book of Galatians chapter number 2. And look at verse number 4. Galatians chapter number 2. And look at verse number 4. The Bible says this. It says, and that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out, look what it says, our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Do you see that? Sometimes people will look at our type of church and we'll preach hard against sin and they'll say, you're a legalistic church. We're not a legalistic church. A legalistic church is the kind of church that teaches you must do this to go to heaven, or you must do this to be a Christian. We're actually anti-legalism. We teach salvation is by faith, through grace, without works. You don't have to do anything to get to heaven. You don't have to come to church or put money in or repent of your sin. Hey, you can have liberty through Jesus Christ. Now, we will preach against sin, But we will never have a rule. Look, I preach often on the subject of how we ought to look and how we ought to dress and what the Bible says. Well, we'll never set any rules. People sometimes say, well, are there any rules of how I should dress to come to church? There are no rules of every Baptist church. You can come dress however you want. You can do whatever you want. Hey, we're not going to tell you what to do. We believe if you're saved, you've got liberty through Jesus Christ. And we're going to, you know, we're not going to force you to do something. Well, you got to be a church member, so you must do this and this and this. No. Look, you're there in Galatians chapter number 2. Look at Galatians chapter number 5. Look at verse 1. Look at what Paul said. He said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." The Bible says that Christ has made us free. Now look, we will try to influence you through the preaching of the Word of God. And we will try to get you to change and get you to grow in your spiritual life. But we're not going to force you to do anything. We will never have rules. Now look, you cross certain lines and we'll just kick you out. But hey, we love, you know, having people around. And we love, you know, we're going to love you and be patient with you. And you say, well, I'm not as fully mature as other Christians. Praise the Lord. We're all trying to get there. But we will have no rules, so it's wrong to have someone sign a covenant or sign a contract saying, I will be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and if I'm not, then, you know, I don't even understand what you're going to do with that contract. You're going to take people to court because they didn't tithe or something? You know, it's pretty ridiculous to have a covenant or a contract, but churches do that. Not only that, churches today have membership transfer by letter from the prior pastor or church. And they'll literally, like let's say you used to go to a church, you know, Verity Baptist Church, and you moved to some other church. You moved to Tempe, Arizona. Faithful Word Baptist Church. And you started going there. They would literally, you know, and they don't do this. They're like us. But I'm just an example. There are churches who would say, you want to join our church? We need a letter of recommendation and of transfer from your prior pastor. Now you say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, let me give you a few examples. First of all, what if your old church closed down? What if your pastor got into sin and got out of ministry? Does that mean you just no longer can be part of a church? What if your old church went bad? What if your old church started preaching heresy or changed, you know, their Bible or did something bad and you left there out of conviction? You think the old pastor is going to give you a letter of recommendation? You know? And people say, well, of course, you know, people, you know. And here's the thing. People say, well, if your church closed down or if you got issues with your old pastor, we're not going to force you. We only force you to do it if you can get a good record. Then why do it? What's the point of doing things if you're not going to pull them? You know what I mean? Or what about this?
This is a good one.
What if you just got backslidden and got out of church and you're trying to get right with God? You know, and now you've got, you know, you're just adding this step where you're making people feel frustrated because now they got to explain to someone that I can't get you a church membership, you know, reference form from my pastor because I got backslidden and I haven't been in church in, you know, 4 years or whatever and I'm trying to get right with it. Look, nobody should come to church and have to feel like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why we're against these church membership, you know, go to this, you know, the other, go to a 17-week membership class and after you get through the class, we'll give you a certificate, you'll be a member. And we got to get back to this. Where can you find that in the Bible? Show me voting someone in to church in the Bible. Show me signing a church covenant in the Bible. Show me, you know, a transfer of letter from the Bible. It's not there. So then we got to ask this question. So that's why we don't do those things. So then we got to ask this question. What is the biblical pattern for church membership? What does the Bible teach about church membership? Go with me, please, to Matthew chapter number 16. The first thing we got to understand before we start talking about what is the biblical pattern for church membership, we got to understand that God and the Lord Jesus Christ are the ones who are in charge of building the church. Matthew chapter number 16, look at verse number 18. Matthew 16, 18 is the first time that the word church is mentioned in the Bible, and it's by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said in Matthew 16, 18, he said, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want you to notice that Jesus Christ said, "I will build my church." Whose job is it to build a church? Jesus. You say, well, I thought, Pastor, it was your job to build a church. No, it's actually all of our jobs to you know, evangelize the unsaved and to go out soul winning and to bring, you know, try to get people saved and try to go to church. But see, you know, and I'm not going to take the time to go through it, but in 1 Corinthians, you remember when Paul said, hey, I've watered, and, you know, Apollos watered, and, or he said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And look, we should work as if it all, you know, depends on us, and we should go out there and water and plant and try to reap. But God's the one who gives the increase. God's the one who, you know, grows. Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. And that's why, you know, at Berry Baptist Church, I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to be as nice as I can. We will bake all the cookies we need to bake and give you all the gift cards we need to give you and call you and be nice to you and give you rights. And look, I'm going to do everything I can to try to help build this church. But it's not my job to build the church. It's God's job. I'm going to also preach the Bible and preach the Word of God. And if it offends you and you leave, I'm not that worried about it. You know what? I love you and I don't want you to leave. But if you do, it's God's job to build a church. He said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Go with me to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. Look at verse number 5. And I understand the sermon this morning a little different than what we usually preach about, but something that we need to deal with. Acts chapter number 16. Look at verse number 5. Look what the Bible says. Acts chapter number 16. You're there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter number 16. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. The Bible, God, see, God wants the church to increase. God wants our attendance to grow. God wants us to increase. But let me tell you something. We ought to work like it all depends on us. And then pray like it all depends on God. Because you know what? It all depends on God. He's the one who increases. He's the one who brings. But you say, well, what is the biblical pattern for church membership? Well, you're there in Acts chapter number 16. Go back with me to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. There's two ways in the Bible that we find that people were added into the church membership. Acts chapter number 2, look at verse number 41. The first way, God adds to the church. I want you to remember that. God adds to the church. And God adds to the church, number one, through salvation and baptism. Through salvation and baptism. Acts chapter number 2, look at verse number 41. After the great day of Pentecost, the Bible says, then they that were that gladly received His word. Who's the word? Jesus Christ. They that received His word are those who received Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us we are born again, not of incorruptible seed, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. It says in verse 41, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You see that? So on the day of Pentecost, the Bible tells us 3,000 were saved, or might have been more saved, but we know that for sure 3,000 were saved and 3,000 were baptized. And when they were saved and they were baptized, they were added to the church. Go with me to Acts chapter number 5. Look at verse number 14. Acts chapter number 5. Look at verse number 14. Acts 5:14. Look what the Bible says. Acts 5:14 says, and believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women. Do you see that? So how were people added to the Lord? They were added to the Lord when they believed. It says, believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women. Look at Acts chapter number 6. Look at verse number 1. Acts 6:1. Look at what it says. It says, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. But I want you to notice in verse 1 it says, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied. Does it seem like in the book of Acts that it was not an exciting church? I mean, this is an exciting church. Everywhere you turn, they're being added and they're multiplied and they're growing and they're getting there. You say, man, Pastor, you know, I like our church to be a church like the church in Acts where it's constantly growing and multiplying. And how can we do that? Well, let me explain something to you. Verse number 1 of chapter number 6 is very exciting. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied. But here's what you got to understand, okay? The Bible was written, and there's nothing wrong with this, but when the Bible was written, you know, in a book form, it was divided into chapters and verses so that we can readily get to different passages. But verse 42 is in chapter 5 is in context of verse 1 of chapter 6. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just because we divided, you know, that into a separate chapter to be able to find them more quickly. Verse 42 of the previous chapter, chapter 5, is in context of verse 1 of chapter 6. So verse 1 of chapter 6, something we all want. And in those days, there were the number of disciples was multiplied. But look at verse 42. How did they get there? Look what it says. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. See, daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And because of verse 42, verse 1 of chapter 6 says, and in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, you say, have every minute, how can we get Verity Baptist Church to multiply? Here's how we get to multiply. Go out and preach the gospel. Go out and get people saved. Go out soul winning. If you came to our church, you came to our church by word of mouth. You came to our church because someone invited you, because somebody knocked on your door, maybe because somebody knocked on your door and you weren't there and they left an invitation or something, but you came through the soul-winning ministry of our church. And verse 1 of chapter 6 doesn't happen unless verse 42 of chapter 5 happens. You understand that? The way that church membership is added to the church is added through getting people saved and getting people baptized. Look at Acts chapter number 11. Look at verse number 20. Acts chapter number 11, look at verse number 20. The Bible says this, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, look what it says, preaching the Lord Jesus. So these, some of them in verse 20, what were they doing? They were preaching the Lord Jesus, they were soul winning, look at verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Do you see that? Isn't it consistent in the scriptures? Somebody goes out to preach the gospel, and then a great number believes. Look at verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. So Barnabas shows up in Antioch, the church in Antioch, verse 23, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And look what it says, much people were added unto the Lord. Do you see the pattern here? When people are added to the Lord, it's because somebody preached the gospel. Verse 42, daily in the temple and every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. The first verse of the next chapter said there was a great multitude of disciples. You know, these people in verse 20 are preaching the gospel, and in verse 21, a lot of people get saved. Barnabas shows up to preach the gospel, and in verse 24, much people was added unto the Lord. That's how it works. Getting people saved, getting people baptized. So how do we add people to the church, or how are church members added? Number one, they're added through salvation and baptism. If you got saved at Verity Baptist Church, you're a member. If you've been baptized through the ministry of Verity Baptist Church, you're a member. But not only that, God adds to the church through salvation and baptism, but God also adds people who are already saved. Pastor Roger Jimenez did not get saved at Verity Baptist Church. But I'm a member of this church. Say, well, how did that happen? Well, let me show you. You're there in Acts chapter number 11. Look at verse number 22. Look what it says. And the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. Do you see that? The church that was in Jerusalem. This was the church in Jerusalem. And they, look what it says, sent forth Barnabas. Barnabas was the preacher that ended up getting more people saved. That he should go as far as Antioch. Antioch was a different church. So you've got the church in Jerusalem, and they sent someone, Barnabas, who was already a believer, who was already saved, and they sent him to the church in Antioch. And he took a leadership role there. Not only are church members added to the church through salvation and baptism, believers, people who are already saved, are added to the church when God brings them into our congregation. look at, you're there in Acts chapter number 11. Look at verse number 25. Barnabas goes from the church in Jerusalem and is sent to the church in Antioch. And then look what he says. Look at verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus. Remember, Barnabas got a bunch of people saved there. The church started growing a little bit. He needed some help. And the Bible says, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. This is Saul. Saul has been saved. This is before his name is changed to Paul. It gets changed here in this chapter. But one of the following chapters, chapter number 13. But he goes and he's seeking for Saul. And look what it says, verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So I want you to see, people are added to the church, number one, through salvation and baptism. But also people are added to the church through just, they're already believers and they come to the church. Barnabas came from the church in Jerusalem to the church in Antioch. Barnabas goes and finds Saul and brings him to the church in Antioch. And Antioch became their home church. Later on, when Barnabas and Saul are put into the ministry and sent to be missionary, they're sent out of the church in Antioch. And for the rest of their missionary journeys, Paul continues to go back to his home church in Antioch. So people are added to the church that are already believers when they're added, when they come here, and we know that that happens through the Lord. Let me show you another example. Go with me to Romans chapter number 16. Romans chapter number 16. I understand that this morning's sermon is a little more of a teachy type sermon. Maybe a little different than what we do on Sunday mornings. But I want you to understand this. Why we do. We got to understand why we do the things we do. We got to be able to understand it from the Bible. Romans chapter number 16. Look at verse number 1. There's this pattern in the Bible where Christians ought to be received into congregations when they go there. Go to Romans chapter number 16, look at verse number 1. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church at Rome. And Romans chapter 16 is the last chapter in the book of Romans. And he is writing, you know, just a few of the, just saying hi to people and greeting a few people. And in verse number 1 he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. Do you see that? So Phoebe was a servant of the church in Cenchrea. So she was in another church. But he says, look, I'm commending her to you. He said, I'm saying, because what happened was, Phoebe was going to the church in Rome. So Paul said, here, take this letter to the church in Rome. And in verse 2 he says, that ye receive her, look what he says, in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been succored of many, and of myself also. Do you see that? She said, Phoebe's going to Rome, she was a servant at the church in Cenchrea, but she's got some business to do in Rome. I want you to receive her in Rome. That's what he was saying. And we find this pattern through scriptures. Go with me real quickly. Colossians. You're there in Romans. You got 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 10. Colossians chapter number 4. Look at verse number 10. Paul says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas. And look what he says in parentheses. Touching whom ye received commandments. And look what he says. If he come unto you, receive him. Do you see that? And you find this principle all throughout the scriptures. He said, if he come unto you, receive him. And he says, if a believer comes to your church, I want you to receive him. I want you to bring them in. I want you to bring them into the congregation. So church members are added to the church if they're saved here, if they're baptized here. But believers who are already saved can be added to the church if they come here. If they're received, and we can receive them. Go with me to 3 John. Chapter number 1, towards the end of the New Testament there, right before the book of Revelation, you got the book of Jude, and then you got 3 John. 3 John, and let me show you an example, a negative example of someone who could not receive other believers. And by the way, you know, my dad used to say this, I was born in Venezuela, and we moved to the United States when I was 4 years old, my family did. And my dad, you know, my dad said this, because when we came here, we had, you know, the reason we ended up in Northern California is that we knew a family who were Christians, who lived in Castro Valley, California, and they had traveled to Venezuela and met my parents there. And then so when we were coming here, we arranged to stay with them for a few months when we first got here to get settled down. And my dad always say this, Christianity is the only religion where people could travel across the world and find family that you've never met. And that's the truth. You know, I've met people, you know, as I traveled when I was in the military, and then we go to Texas and different places, you know, we met people, you know, who were believers in Jesus Christ. People I never met, but they were Christians. They were like us, and they believed like us, you know. And you instantly got that bond of family. Why? Because we're all family in Christ. God is our Father. And there's this principle down in the Bible that people, you know, they might not got saved at our church necessarily, and they might not got baptized at our church necessarily, but they're a believer. So if they come to our church, we ought to receive them in. We ought to bring them in. Look at 3 John chapter number 1. Look at verse number 9. 3 John chapter number 1. And there's only one chapter. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, I wrote unto the church, this is John speaking, he said, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. This is a bad example. He said, this person would not receive us. Look at what he said. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren. So you see here an example of someone who would not receive the brethren. Someone who would not receive. You're there in 3 John. Go with me to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. We're going to change gears here a little bit, but I want you to understand something. The biblical pattern for adding people to the church is this. Number one, they get saved and baptized at our church. Or number two, they're already saved, they're already believers, and they are added to our church because they come here. And we ought to receive them as believers. But let me tell you something. In both instances, they were added by the Lord. They were added by God. God brought them here. God put them in our midst. God put them, you know, here. And by the way, let me explain something to you. This is one of the reasons why I'm not going to mince words, and I'm not going to apologize for it either. But this is one of the reasons why Pastor Jimenez gets so upset when we, you know, as church members, you know, and we don't have this problem here. And, but I believe the reason, one of the reasons we don't have this problem here is because I put out this fire as soon as I ever find out about it. But churches have this development, you know, churches will develop into cliques. I used to go to church where everything was a clique. I mean, this, you know, these people, they lived in this part of town, and they were their little clique, and then these other people, you know, they're related to the pastor. So they're this little clique, you know, and churches can form these little cliques, and you got to be part of this little clique, or you're not part of the in crowd. And it ought never be like that in church. We're a family, a spiritual family. But you know, it upsets me to no end when our church people will be rude or mean to a new visitor. You know, when a visitor comes in, we ought to treat them like royalty. We ought to, you know, you ought to go up to them and shake their hand and say, "Hey, nice to meet you. My name's Sergio. I'm glad you're here." You know why? Because God brought them here. God added them to our church. And look, the Bible says if we're not faithful with a small amount of things, why would God give us more? You know, study the parable of the talents here, where God gave one 10 talents and 5 talents and 1 talent. And when they weren't faithful with what God had given them, He wasn't going to give them more responsibilities. You know, and we ought to be so nice to people and love people. We ought to let people know, hey, we love you and we care about you. And by the way, you know, you ought to be rude to people.
He sat in my chair.
You know, it's the first time they're here. They don't know who says, you know what I mean? I mean, I've literally gone to, and that's never happened here, but I've literally gone to church where people, they'll tell off of it. That's where I sit. I sit there every week. I've been sitting there for 20 years. You got good night, you know. Wake up. The person just got here, you know, they're visiting. You know, we ought to be kind and loving. You ought to shake people, and not just visitors, everybody. You ought to shake people's hands and say, hey, nice to see you. Hey, I've been praying for you. Hey, you know, how's things going? Hey, I heard you're having, you know, you lost your job, or I heard you're sick, or whatever. You know, we ought to love each other. Care. And by the way, you ought to not be, you know, cozying up to people because you want to sell them something. You ought to be cozying up to people because you want to sign them up for your Amway thing. You know, that's the other thing, you know, that upsets me so much. We ought not take advantage of people. Try to get, you know, I've been through you got to be careful with so-and-so, because if you talk to them too much, they're going to try to get you to you know, change the oil in their car. And that's why I get so, you know, so afraid about learning about beer. You know, oh, so-and-so, he does mechanical work. Man, I need some mechanical work. And look, you guys be friends and love each other. And, you know when you cross the line. You know what I'm talking about? You know, there's nothing wrong with hiring people. Hey, praise the Lord for that. Amen. But, you know, you ought not expect people to do, well, he goes to church, he ought to be willing to do that for free. That's not right. You know, and it upsets me to no end. Here's why. You know, you spend 20 to 25 hours a week out knocking doors trying to get people to come to church just so that when they show up, someone's trying to ask him for money or ask him to come do this for me or do that for me. You know, God brought those people here. We ought to be ministering to them, not trying to get them to minister to us. You know, but we're added through salvation. We're added through baptism. We add believers just because God brought them here. Because God brought them to us. You know, there's so many people I can name, and I won't do it, but I can name names of people who have already been saved for years. They'll say, man, I feel like God brought me here. This is what I needed. This type of preaching and this type of church. But not only that, let's very quickly talk about what it means to be a church member. What does it mean to be a church member? So you're a church member. What exactly does it mean to be a church member? Well, I want you to notice something. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 30. The Bible says this, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. The Bible tells us that a church member is actually, the Bible calls them a member, but not a member like part of a club. It calls them member, the word member means a body part. And the Bible says that a church member, they're a member because they're part of the body. See, do you remember how it says, and I won't take the time to go through it right now, but do you remember how the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the head of the church and the church is His body? Well, look, what's the church? You and I. The church is not the building. The church is not the chairs. The church is the people. And when we as a people come together and congregate together, we form the body of Christ. And if we're the body, then you individually are a body part. You're a member. The Bible says that we, there in Ephesians 5:30, says, for we are the members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Go with me to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Look at verse number 4. Romans chapter number 12. Look at verse number 4. Look what the Bible says. Romans chapter number 12. And verse number 4. The Bible says, for as we have many members in one body. Look what it says. And all members have not the same office. But I want you to notice this. For as we have many members in one body. Look at verse 5. For we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member, one of another. Do you see that? The Bible says we are all members. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members, one of another. When you say, I'm a church member, you're not saying you're a part of an organization. The church is not an organization. The church is an organism. We're a body. We're the body of Christ. And when you say, I'm a member of that body, the word member that the King James Bible uses is saying you're a body part. You're a part of the body. Say, well, what does it mean to be a church member? It means you're part of this body. It means you're a body part. Well, what does that mean? Well, first of all, members should use their gifts, talents, skills, resources to help the furthering of the body, the church. You're there in Romans chapter number 12. Look at verse 4 again. Look what it says. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Notice what it says. All members have not the same office. So we're all part of the body, but we're not all the same office. We're not all the pastor. We're not all the usher. We're not all the, you know, whatever. The, you know, whatever thing you do around here. Look at verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member, one of another. Look at verse 6. Having then gifts differing. Do you see that? See, we all have different gifts. We all have different talents. We all have different backgrounds. We all have different, you know, skills and different things. And it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. You see that? saying, hey, you may have the gift of, you may be able to prophesy, you may have the gift of ministry, you may, you know, you may be able to give a lot. Hey, he says, do that. He says, whatever you do, you know, you, we're all different body parts. We all don't have the same office, but we're all the same body. We're different body members. We're different members, we're different body parts of the body of Christ. You're there in Romans chapter number 12. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 is where we started this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Look at verse number 3. Look what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts. Do you see that? Diversity means different kinds. He says there are diversities of the gifts, but the same Spirit. See, some of you have the gift to pray. You know, some of us struggle to pray, and we ought to pray, and you should pray. But some of you, it comes easy to pray. You ought to pray for the church people. If you have the time, do it. You know, you have different gifts. Some of you are good at writing notes. You know, maybe you ought to write notes to people and say, hey, so-and-so, I didn't see you in church, I missed you. Not, hey, so-and-so, where were you? You getting backslidden? You know, we're not talking about that. But hey, so-and-so, I've been praying for you. You know, we all have different gifts, different things we could do. He says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Look at what verse did I want you to look at? It says, for as the body is one, verse 12, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And you know what you got to understand, drop down to verse number 12. Verse number 12. Actually, you know, let's just keep reading. Oh, we just read verse 12, right? Let's keep reading to verse number 13. It says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Do you see that? The body is not one member, but many. That's what I was trying to get to. The body is not one member, but many. Verity Baptist Church is not Pastor Roger Jimenez. That's just one body part. That's just one member. The body is not one member, but many. Look at verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now look, the illustration he starts to give is kind of silly, but listen to it. You know, people get this idea, well, I don't get to be the pastor, I'm not part of the church. Or I don't get to, you know, take the offering, or I don't get whatever, you know, whatever. I didn't get to cook that meal. Look, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not part of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Look at verse 16. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Do you see what he's saying? He said, look, if your whole body was one big eye, that'd be a weird body. Then your whole body is just one big eye. I want to be the eye. Then how could you hear? If your whole body is just one big ear, how would you smell? He's saying, look, we're all different body parts. We all have different gifts. We all have different, you know, talents. We all have different skills. And the body, see, your body ought to come together to work for the betterment of the body. Brother Vincent and I were talking yesterday around sewing, and we're talking about how he got a cut in his finger, and we were talking about how, man, you're surprised. You know, you get a cut in your finger, and you don't realize just how many times you use that. Till it hurts. You know, when it hurts, and you realize, man, I go to get my wallet, I go to put my belt on, you know, we're talking about that. You know, I go, you know, we have all, you know, you have all these parts of your body, you don't even realize how, you know, how much you need them till they're gone, or till they're hurt, or till you can't use them. That's the church. Why not look down at people and say, well, so-and-so doesn't do, you know, whatever. Look, we're all part of the body, and we all got different gifts, we all got different administrations, we all have different offices, but we all should come together, why? To work together. Look at verse 17.
If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him.
We should all come together for the you ought to use your skills for the furthering of the vision of the body of Christ. You ought to use your talent. You ought to use your time. You ought to use your treasure. You ought to use your gifts and your abilities to be able to say, hey, I can do that. Hey, I can take care of that. Hey, I can help with that ministry, and I can go soul winning, and I, you know, we ought to all come together as different members together and say, hey, we're going to do something for God.
Not just that. Look at verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. And I don't want you to miss that. Bible says in verse 24, God hath tempered the body together. God is the one who brought us together. If you ever have an issue with a church member, you ought to just, you know, let that go. Don't even bring that up. Say, you know, whatever, so-and-so was rude to me, and I remember my very first service, so-and-so yelled at me because I was sitting in their chair. Yeah, you know, just let that go. Because you know what? God's the one who tempered us. The word is talking about bringing us together. God brought us together. God brought so-and-so, and God brought me, and God brought you. God put us together, and if God saw it fit to put us together, we ought to love each other. Look at verse number 20. Well, look at verse 25. We're going to deal with that in a second. It says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one of another. Look at verse 26. And whether one member suffer, look what it says, verse 26. We're all one body, right? This is where the church family aspect comes in. He says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with him. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with him. You understand that? When someone's hurting, we ought to all be hurting. And when someone's rejoicing, I just got a raise. Hey, you
wish I got a raise.
You say, hey, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because we're all in it together. We're all one body. So what does it mean to be a church member? Number one, it means that you use your gifts and talents and skills and resources to help further the church, the body. Number two, it means that you should be faithful to the gathering of the church. Look at verse 25 again. That there should be no schism in the body. Do you see that? That there should be no schism in the body. That word schism there means division or disunion. The Bible says there ought to be no division and there ought to be no disunion of the body. You don't have to turn there, but Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse 25 tells us, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. You know, the main thing about being a body is that your body's together. Who wants to have a body where your leg and your, you know, your arms and your fingers are all scattered abroad? That's not a body. That's painful. You get the most out of your body when you're all the body parts are together. And for the church, that's how it is. Now, sometimes people are part of the body, but they're never here. Or they're part of the church, but they're never, you know, and we got the schism in the body. And I remember when we first started the church, we literally had, and we don't have this problem really that much anymore. It's not a problem. I just thought it was kind of funny. My wife and I would laugh because we literally had church members who were like, this was their church. I mean, I was their pastor. This was their vision. They were sold out. Like, this was their church. But because of their inconsistency, they had never made it. Like, we have families, and even now it happens. You know, we have family, like, a certain family will come here, and then, like, I don't know why it works out this way, but, like, they'll be missing, and then the other family will come. It's almost like they tag team. Like, hey, you're going to be there this week? Oh, you're going to be there? Okay, then I'll go, you know, hunting. And then, like, oh, you're not going to be there? Okay, I'll be there. And literally, we had families who've been coming here for months, never met each other. And then, like, we had, like, a big service where they, like, met each other, and they were like, oh, so-and-so, you're the first time I visited Rochester. I've been coming for, like, 6 months. It's like, oh, really? You know, yeah. And, you know, the funny thing is, it ought to be like that. You know, I thank God for those members where I just know, like, man, they're just going to be here. If they're not here, it's because they're sick or they're out of town or whatever, but if they're here, you know, if they're in town, they're going to be here. I love that. Because there this union. You know, I want to know how you're doing, and I want to see, you know, what's going on in life. I want to be able to pray for you and ask you questions and just see how you are. Why? Because we're a body. Gotta be no schism. You gotta be faithful. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:18, you don't have to turn there, but it says, when ye come together in the church. Go with me to Acts chapter number 2. Look at verse number 41. Acts chapter number 2, look at verse number 41. Let me show you. We're almost done here, I promise. Acts chapter number 2. Look at verse number 41. Look, it's only 11:52. We'll be done in the next 8 minutes. Acts chapter number 2. Look at verse number 41. Remember we saw this verse. Acts chapter 2, 41 says, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. But look at verse 42. Verse 42 really describes the church. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Do you see that? That's a church. Fellowshipping. Continuing in the doctrine, breaking bread, and prayers. Look, we cover all of Elizabethan Baptist Church. You say you wanna continue in prayer? Come to church on Wednesday night. We pray together. You wanna break bread? Come to church virtually. Just pick a Sunday and we'll probably have food. You know, just pick a, you know, we always have food and fellowship and parties and this and that. You know, what you say, why do you have the ladies' activity where they make the cheesecake, then we all eat the cheesecake? Why do you do all these things? Why? Because part of being a church is not just coming to church. It's not just listening to a sermon. You know, people listen to preaching on TV all the time. That's not church. Listening to a sermon, you know, Joel Osteen on TV is not church. Coming to the congregation, coming with the believers, coming and fellowshipping and singing song and being together as a body, that's church. Look at verse number 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They'd eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Do you see that? The purpose for the sermon this morning is to try to teach you, number one, why we don't follow the main course of church membership. Number two, what is proper membership? Proper membership is someone gets saved and get baptized and come to our church. Proper membership is that the God brings a believer already. Someone who's already been saved, who's already been, but God brings them and adds them to our church. A church member is someone who is a part of the body, and they come together to help unite the body, and they use their gifts and their talents and the things that God has given them to be able to bring the body together. Members should be faithful to the gathering. You know, you ought to be looking for opportunities to serve. And to be able to say, hey, I want to be part of this body. You say, well, how can you serve? Well, number one, you can go soul winning. Just go soul winning all day, every day. You know, I mean, we're always looking for people to go soul winning. But look, we got so many things. You want something to do, just ask me. I mean, we provide rice to people, to church, and praise the Lord for it. We love it. But we can always provide more rice to more people. Need more vehicles. Someone say, hey, pastor, I'm willing. I'll give someone a ride to church. You know, let me know. I'll get you someone to pick up. I mean, we can make preaching CDs. You could post sermons on the website. You could update. I'll let you have that whole ministry. Make videos and edit videos. Put them on the internet and put our preaching CDs on. I don't like doing all that. I do it because, you know, people listen to them. But hey, you know how to do that? We'll let you do it. Miss Carol makes meals every Wednesday night for church. You know, some of the ladies could say, hey, I'll make a meal. I'll help out in that. You know, I'll do that. Well, you know why? Because we want to break bread. Because we want to have fellowship. Because we want to love. You know, there's things to do. But we got to come together as a body. That's what it means to be a church member. So in conclusion, let me say this. You're there in Acts, but just go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Let me show you one verse and we'll be finished. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, look at verse 18. Here's the main purpose of church membership is this. 1 Corinthians 12:18. Says this. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says this. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. The main point of church membership is this. God set the members in the body. God brought you here. God brought you to us. say, well, no, Pastor, you knocked on my door and you got me. He said, no, God brought you here. God is the one who caused you to come and caused you to be born and caused you to grow and caused, you know, God brought you here. That's church membership. Church membership is accomplished when God adds you to our church through either salvation, baptism, or just you found out about us and you came. But we would like to, from now on, publicly acknowledge when God does that. When God adds someone, and when God chooses and says, hey, you know what, I want to join that church. We want to be able to allow you to take that step consciously. Say, well, Pastor, what are you going to do? You make us do a church class? No. You make us sign a contract? No. Unless you want to give me something you own, you know, I can write up a contract. But, you know, we're not going to make you sign a contract and covenant and all that. But, you know, what we'd like to do is, when someone decides, you know, I want to join that church, we'd like to talk to you about that. We'd like to pray for you, with you about that. And we would like to just publicly acknowledge, just at a service, to be able to say, maybe put your name in the bulletin and say, Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so decided to join our church. And we're really, what we're just doing is we're acknowledging that God, by His providence, has brought you to us. And of course, you know how our church rolls. We'll have a little gift for you. And we'll have something nice. And we'll do something nice. And it's not, we're not trying to add anything to the Bible, but we would like to acknowledge that God brought you. And God brought you here. And God is the one who brought the members together. And He saw fit to put our body together. Our church congregation. So let's go ahead and bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You so much. Thank You for our church. And thank You for those who You bring together. And Father, we love You. In Your precious name I pray. Amen.